Blog Talk Radio.
Is up. Welcome to the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. It's 23rd of June, and we're coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And yes, it is NBA draft day. This is actually one of my favorite days of the year. I get to tell you some guys that I think are going to make some really good pros. And there's a difference between a really good pro and a future superstar, and a future this, a future that. But I got some guys I think they're going to make some really good pros in mind, and we'll get into that a little bit later. I'll be joined today by the one and only Michael Caratagudo, Believe in Pac-12 Basketball. My guy, PFF, you know how we roll, so it should be a lot of fun. Other stuff we want to get into. I know the last time I touched on the LIV tour, and the more I hear, you know what? I'll save it because that'll be in our first segment. We'll talk about that as well. What the hell are the Suns going to do with DeAndre? And talking heads, everyday shows. Look, I get that. Again, I'll save it. I'll get into that afterwards. This is the Cave Show, PLR. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Come on down, check them out, 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member. Get you access to the members' lounge. Get a humidor, a locker to back up to the humidor. Plenty of great places to sit. They're going to be short of draft tonight. So come on down, check it out. They do serve adult beverages, so enjoy that while you have your steak. One of the best selections you'll find. If you can't make it down here directly, just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order early enough in the day. It will ship the exact same day. Now, if you're not a member there, there's no issues. Still a lot of great places to sit, relax. Like I said, watch the NBA draft. I know they'll have hockey on tomorrow night. Everything will be good. This is the place to be. Again, all that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And if you're in the house, let them know PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. So I'm going to start with the LIV Golf Tour because when we start bleeding in the hoops, we're going to stick with it. And this is going to be a long, soliloquy that I'm going to give you on the LIV Tour. I think I've already done that. But the LIV Tour is really starting to bug the hell out of the PGA. You could tell. Look, there are golfers that are saying we're going to stay true to the tradition. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But we're still blaming golfers for leaving. Let me ask you a question. If you're an independent electrician, and I'll use that as my example, an independent electrician, and you go into new houses, new builds, and they pay you for setting up the electricity in the house. And you've been with the company for a while, but they don't give bonuses. They just give you a flat salary. You make $12 an hour, and that's what you get, no matter what. No matter what. If you do one house or 40 houses, let me rephrase that, $12,000 for doing a house. So every time you do a house, you get it. Now, if there's something, if for whatever reason you contract to do a house and that house doesn't complete, you get absolutely nothing. Deal falls through, whatever falls through, you don't get it. And then here comes another company that says, hey, look, we're going to give you a flat rate. We're going to give you $100,000 before you even do one house. And then on top of that, the more houses you do, the more money we're going to give you. And if a deal falls through on a house, doesn't matter. We're going to pay you for doing that house anyway because it's not your fault the deal fell through. Would you go work for it? Same thing with golfers, people. Treat them like people. If on the tour, they have to basically pay their own freight. If they miss a cut, they don't get a dime. LIV, they can pay no matter what. People have kids. People have family. People want to leave money for their family. And here's the crazy part. You can still play in majors. Still do the U.S. Open. You still do the Masters. And here's what I think is funny. Well, all those LIV golfers, they didn't win. Joke's on them. What if they win the next one? Is the joke then on the PGA? That's another way for cats to make money. And believe me, cats are going to try to make money. It's just that simple. So next week we'll see. Next couple weeks we'll see. PGA is still crying and moaning. Step up your game. This world is built on competition and moving forward. If you're not doing either, you get left behind. Switching over to hoops, like I said, the NBA draft is tonight. And there's so much other stuff going on. Jeremy Grant was traded to Portland, freed up a lot of money for Detroit. Detroit can go out and throw an offer sheet to DeAndre Ayton, the Suns center. Will they do it? And if they do it, will the Suns match it? I heard something kind of interesting today, and I stopped to think about it. And you know what? There's a lot of validity to it. A lot of validity to what I heard. If you look at the NBA and the way the NBA is structured right now, and the need in the NBA, and you look at the teams that have done really well, do you need a max center? Or in other words, do you need to max every center? Joel Embiid, obviously. Nikola Jokic, obviously. But as I checked, Cleveland did it. But Jared Allen. Atlanta can do it with Clint Capella. Milwaukee was doing it with Brooke Lopez. Memphis, Valanciunas. There are guys that you can get. Guys that you can get without breaking your bank. Especially if you've given, if you're the Suns, and you've given Chris Paul a ton of money. And you've given Devin Booker a ton of money. There are ways to do it. Maybe you let him go. Maybe. I think this is going to be very interesting. For DeAndre Ayton, what can he get? For the Suns, what is he worth? And what am I willing to pay? And I think that's what it all boils down to. And let me ask you this. Is DeAndre Ayton, in your mind, a max player? Getting double-doubles does not make you a max player. Does he have enough impact on every game? Do the Suns use him in a way where he can have a huge impact on every game? And that's what it basically boils down to. The Suns, by losing the way they lost, exposed a lot of holes they have. And as a center, if they lose him, the biggest hole. There's some things that we obviously know the Suns need. They need a proper power forward. Love Jay Crowder. I love him even more when he comes off the bench. They need another player that can go get his shot. So if the Suns came back with the player that can get his own shot, I forgot one, a good backup for Chris Paul and a proper power forward, could they be even better than they were last year? And I don't mean 64-18 better. I mean playoffs better. Could they be? That's what we're finding out. And that's what the Suns want to find out. Suns don't have a draft pick. They're not big on rookies. They're big on trading picks for veteran players that have already shown what they can do. But when you look down the Suns roster, do they have enough the way they're put together? We shall see. We'll see how this all works out. Because the playoff teams last year, Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State, Dallas, Utah, Denver, Minnesota, New Orleans, LA, Clippers, and the Spurs. That's going to look different next year. Portland will get a healthy Dame back. Anthony Simons is more developed. Can they sign Yusuf Nurkic? They've added Jeremy Grant. It sounds like a team that at least could battle for a playoff spot. The Lakers are the Lakers. As much as I think the bubble was an anomaly for them, but especially for what Anthony Davis did, the Lakers going 33-49 is an anomaly too. They'll be back in contention. So you have 12 teams vying for 10 spots. Someone's falling out. So we shall see who it is. We'll see how it goes. And remember, the Clippers are getting Kawhi and Paul George back. So do the Suns have something up their sleeve? Because James Jones usually does. Usually does. When we come back, should have my man on, the one, the only Michael Caratino, believe in Pac-12 basketball. We'll get with him. We'll do all that. A couple more things to touch on. We'll do it after this break. This is K-Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Cigars with the Cave Show Sports Talk Radio. Make sure you're checking us out every day live. If you ever miss a show, you can go to KSRN, download the app from the Apple Play Store, the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. We're also on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. Download those apps as well, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps. Make sure that you're following The Cave Show, as brought to you by Sports Cave. Remember, Cave is always, always with the K. And check it out. Know when a new show is being uploaded. On air with me right now is my guy, the one and only, believe in Pac-12 basketball. My guy, the one and only, Michael Caratino. Mike, what's up, buddy? What's going on?
Man, you know, just hanging out, enjoying the nice cold weather we're getting this summer. You know, it's a little chilly.
Yeah, we're not at 150 yet, but it's coming.
You know, just trying to stay positive with it.
Yeah, I'm positive it's going to get to 150. I'm just excited. You know what? At this point, here's what I do. I say count payments. So say you have an electricity bill. Just know you have to pay two of them or three of them before things get better. And count those days down. That's the way I do it now. You know what? I got two car payments before weather gets good. I got two more electricity payments before weather gets good. You get two mortgage payments before weather gets good. As long as you do that, you can fight through July and August.
You know what? I never thought of it that way, but that's true. That's a pretty good way to look at it there. Look at you with all your groundbreaking ideas. Man.
I'm a Zen master. I got a quote for you, and I'll let you and I'll let you steal it. I was talking about the LIV tour versus the PGA.
Uh-huh.
So feel free to steal this one. I said the PGA has changed the throne back for so long, it thinks its own shit doesn't stink.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard. No, I mean, it's a great relation to it. I mean, it's, look, I was talking about this on our show on the Sports Arena too. Like, I get people saying, like, you know, Hammer and Phil Mickelson and the other guys saying, oh, there were Saudi people part of 9/11, and, you know, and again, like, nobody obviously, like, wishes bad on anything like that to happen to anybody, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm sure at some point, and I didn't factually look it up, but I was trying to see, like, companies that may have had, like, you know, Saudi money maybe in it, if, like, any of those companies had ever sponsored the LIV Tour or the PGA Tour. And, again, I didn't find a ton, but, of course, I didn't go, like, crazy, you know, super Inspector Gadget investigative reporter on it. But, yeah, I mean, I get both sides. These guys want to make money. There was no competing tour. And, you know, people say, well, you know, most other, like, Major League Baseball doesn't have a competing league. Well, Major League Baseball goes 162 games. They have a minor league. So it's like, if you go baseball, for basketball, you're like, okay, well, you have European leagues. It's not truly a, you know, a challenger of the NBA. But at the same time, like, it's one of those things where, you know, when you say it that way, you know, I can see it, you know, and these guys see, you know, they don't have to play as much. There's money, you know, guaranteed. And I just think, you know, everybody living in glass houses, you know, is always enough to throw stones. But again, I'm not saying I agree, but I don't think every single person that, you know, on the LIV tour had any, you know, part of certain things. It's like, I don't think every person in, you know, America, you know, the whole thing going on, obviously, with, you know, Russia and the Ukraine, nobody thinks a country should just walk into another country and invade it. Obviously. Well, okay, I shouldn't say not everybody. People that are, like, sane and want to talk things out, and like you and I always say, like, you know, use your words and, you know, talk it out and be adults about it. But, you know, to sit there and punish Russian athletes who have nothing to do with it, like, I just, again, you know, why are you making lines blurred again and instead of separate? No, I'm with you. You're right. The PGA, and now they want to, you know, give the top players more money. It's not even about the top players, because, Paul, you and I know real quick, the top players are getting $9 to $10 million.
They're not worried about
it. Yeah,
they're not worried about it.
It's the bottom players that have to qualify and get their card every year. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, and everybody thinks that, like, oh, these, you know, these guys chose to, you know, get really good at a sport, and they put in the hours, and they got this backing and the sponsorship. Okay, I understand that part. But I'm not saying you should just hand them more money, but it's like the overall purses, you know, even for the person that finishes, you know, dead last, instead of it being, you know, basically costing you and I money. I mean, if I'm caddying for you and, you know, you just start, but say you finish, you know, dead last, you know, that tournament shouldn't cost you, having, you know, gotten your card, more money to play in than you won. Like, that part with the PGA, and like you're saying, like, the top guys are never going to be worried about it, because what are they going to get besides the $10 million they could win on tour? Oh, guess what? They're going to get the, you know, $50, $60, $70, $80, $100 million endorsement deals. So what do they care?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, too, this is so funny. In another lifetime, I used to work for this company, and they added health insurance. That's, they were a small company that turned into a larger company. And I used to joke around and say, by the time, because of healthcare, I owe them money every month. So I get to work all month, pay them for the right to have healthcare. So I'm with you. If you're a caddy and, you know, and your guy makes something, you just lost money. But listen, I don't want to get too much into that. I just wanted to touch on that. I know that the draft is coming up. I know that, unfortunately, we got a little bit of an abbreviated show today. But before I get into the draft, And then we're going to kind of do some shotgun stuff today because of time. Sons of DeAndre Ayton, it seems like this just isn't going to work. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be right. I've been trying to read the tea leaves.
Right.
You know I cover this team. I've been trying to get other guys to cover the team. It seems like something's not there. If Detroit makes an offer that's close to the max, your opinion, should the Suns match that to keep DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah, I mean, look, I do. And you and I talked about this last time I was on the show. Like, it's not even because, like you're saying, like, you know, if you and I are, you know, GM and president of player operations and we're doing that, it's not even a fact that of like, okay, well, you didn't take Lucas, so now you're going to admit, you know, and everybody's, you know, dialogue about that, like, oh, now they're admitting they took the wrong person. Well, no, not really. I mean, look, Ayton's basically averaged 17-10 for his career. He averaged 17-10 in the playoffs this year. Like, again, I think he's worth, I mean, you know, yes, in the parameters of contracts, yes. I mean, if Detroit comes in and offers, I think you match it. If you let him walk, you know, for all Suns fans that are saying, you know, and you and I used to kid around, like, especially last year, saying he was soft and he wouldn't dunk, and I don't get it. He just lays it off the glass. This year he started to dunk a lot more. So I'm definitely looking at it like, okay, yes, you do have a Chris Paul, but Chris Paul, obviously, even if he has a year left, like, another point guard, like, what's a nice valve outside of having, obviously, Devin Booker next to you, but still, you have a big man down low that can pop out and make that shot. Like, again, he did show improvement, and I get what people say, and they're all mad about Luka. At least DeAndre plays defense, man. Like, Luka can score like no other, and I'm not going to take away from him, but his defense is atrocious. Like, it can only get better because it's so bad. Ayton's at a level where, yeah, you expect him to be a rim protector, but if Detroit offers, I mean, you can't just let him walk. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I just think that it's not even about because, oh, you're admitting you, like I said, failed on the draft pick. Like, he's improved. He's an integral part to what you can do, and you don't get guys with that frame, you know, constantly setting picks on people, you know, game in and game out, and the other team that's, you know, getting jacked up by him is, you know, they're going to sit there and, yeah, they're going to think twice. They're going to be a step slower. So, look, man, I get the other side to it, too. It's not all rainbows and unicorns, but there's no way I let them walk.
Okay, so here's how I feel. If Detroit makes some outlandish offer that they can't afford since they traded Jeremy Grant, I then work out a sign and trade somewhere, and here's why. I think the Suns, and I'll try to go quick because I know we're up against the clock, so I got to go quick. I think the Suns would almost be better off with, and I don't know who it is, and I have no backdoor speculation, but another person, another quality scorer that can go get his own shot, a proper power forward, and get by with a Bismack-JaVale combination if they can bring back a proper power forward and slide Jay to the bench. And if they can get those three things by moving DeAndre, I would say move him. To me, that doesn't say it's a bust. It's us saying, look, we got exposed a little bit in the playoffs. These are things we need. Now, if they cannot.
Well, no, but you asked me. You asked me in that.
Hold on, but let me finish. But if they can't get that power forward or that guy that can get his own shot, then yes, you definitely bring it back. So I'm saying with the caveat, if you can get those other things, then work out something. If you can't get those other things, then bring him back. I think he's been, Mike, and this is real quick, I think he's constantly going to be compared to Luka. And I think in some ways it's kind of whack because Luka is in a position where his usage rate should be 700% as much as the ball is in his hand. DeAndre Ayton is in a ball. He's in a position where he needs help to touch the ball. So I think comparing him like that is unfair, ball-deficient position. And so when the Suns only gave him one touch in 7 minutes to start game seven, how much of that is on DeAndre Ayton and how much of that is on the guards? So I think that's where the difference is when you compare the two.
Right. Well, and then where's Trae Young in that, too? Like, I know we're just talking about DeAndre and Luka, but, I mean, if you're the Suns, look, you, you could have had your point guard of the future with Devin Booker if you if you took Trae Young. And I'm not saying Trae Young was the number one pick, but I mean, think about it. Like, Luka was obviously traded for Trae. So, like, you're telling – I mean, you, okay, as me asking you, flipping the script real quick, like, would you like this team with Trae Young and Devin Booker? And, you know, like you said, like, Johnson, Bridges, everybody else is there. I mean, maybe Crowder's not because Chris Paul's not here, but I'm saying, do you like this – would you like – what would this team with Trae Young look like to you, and do you like that?
I don't think it would be as good because defensively, I don't think it would be as good. So
it's all
in the ancillary pieces you get after the fact, and a lot of those ancillary pieces you get based on who you got. So I think it's unfair, and we could go all the way back.
Right.
If Portland
right.
can take Clyde Drexler first, I mean, as their first pick, the year – no, let's be honest. The reason they didn't draft Jordan and they drafted Bowie and they get hit for this all the time, and I don't blame them. Coming out of college, Sam Bowie was a baller. And you already got a guy that played the exact same position as Jordan. So why would you go out and get a replicated position? So I understand why they did what they did.
Right,
now,
right.
Anyone who says, we saw Michael Jordan becoming the greatest player of all time, this icon.
Absolutely.
Right. No one could say that.
Right, because to your point, look how many great players at Carolina he was surrounded by. Not that he wasn't good, but look at what Carolina obviously had his whole time there.
And even James Worthy said when he first got to campus, James Worthy used to kick his ass because James Worthy was the man when Mike first got to campus. So no one can say that. Turning to this draft, though. Turning to this draft tonight, and on air with is one and only Mike Caratununo, believe in Pac-12 basketball. Mike, just give you a heads up. We have like 14 minutes. I'm looking at the mock draft, a lot of different mock drafts. Who do you have going number one?
Man, you know, it's tough for me not to think that Holmgren, you know, with all the talk about a 7-footer, the way he handles goes number one, but man, I mean, you know, you're looking at a 7-footer, and I mean, what he did at Gonzaga, I think Orlando actually would be a great fit for him. I think, you know, and like you said, the thing I love about the NBA is we see the mock drafts, but relative to, like, the season ending and the draft, it's so close, which you know I love because, like, 3.5-4 months of, like, hearing, you know, 2.5-3 months of just hearing, you know, all this draft stuff and mock drafts, but you know, Jabari Smith, look, I think he fits in with a, you know, an Orlando team trying to go on the up and up. But again, man, I just, Chet Holmgren, you know, everybody's saying, he's skinny in a small frame. And I'm not saying he's going to be him, but you remember the last player they said that couldn't even put up 185 pounds that would probably, you know, not last in the league and end up going number two. That'd be Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he's Kevin Durant. You know that. You know me. Like, I'm not in the whole, you know, yeah, I get the comparison, the comp thing, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I know Jay Billis on breakdowns. I was listening to some of his stuff, like, the last few days saying that, like, the same thing. He's not saying he's him, but it's, like, almost like a mini Giannis because, like, of his size. But he's still a rim protector. He'll take it into the lane. So, I mean, I look at Chet Holmgren, and I'm thinking, okay, like, a 7-footer, and, again, just how much the game has changed since, you know, we were, you know, little and – you know, I mean, kids and even, you know, with what Steph Curry's done, but like, you know, but big men now, I mean, the handles that they, a lot of them have and, you know, yeah, he can bring it up the court. Yeah, is he going to bring it up the court every time? No, I mean, he doesn't have those kind of handles, but the guy that is 7 foot, that you and I both know that can pull up and hit threes at a high clip, like, that's sick. But Jabari Smith attacks the rim. I mean, I think they'll both be all-stars, but to answer your question, I mean, people have said it all year, and I mean, they haven't had enough time, you know, there's a little bit of time to break it down. I think that Holmgren will go number one, but you know, Jabari Smith and even Banchero at a Duke, man, I wouldn't be, you know, I think all three of them have it. I know Vegas shortened the odds on Jabari Smith, but if it's me, like you asked me, I'm going with Chet Holmgren. I mean, a 7-footer that can basically, you know, again, he needs to put on a little more weight, fine. But, you know, I mean, Kevin Durant needed to, too, and he didn't put on too much. So it's worked out pretty well for KD.
Here's how I look at this, and this is why I think Jabari Smith is going to go first. And follow me with this really quick analogy. If I told you I'm going to give you a penny a day, a penny, and double it every day for a month, or I'm going to give you $10,000 right now, you're going to take that penny, right, and let it double every day, because by the end of the month, you're going to be filthy rich, right? But
yep.
It's you're living in an apartment, and your rent is $1,000, and you're 3 months past due, and I tell you, I'm going to give you 10 grand right now, or you can wait till the end of the month. You're not going to go live under a viaduct for a month. You're going to take that 10 grand, pay your back rent, and pay some forward rent. And I think that's what Jabari Smith does for Orlando.
All right.
Because he can come in right away. He can come in right away and help a young team with the scoring that they need, the inside presence they need, and everything they need now. Chet Holmgren, on the other end, is going to, in my opinion, be very good, but he's a developed player. And if he goes to OKC, we've seen their history in developing players, from Russ to Harden to KD to what's my man that plays for the – I think he plays for the Clippers again, Serge Ibaka. We've seen them develop. And in OKC, there's no rush. Not saying there's a rush in Orlando, but the people are starting to get a little restless. So they want to see challenging for the playoffs. And I think that's the difference.
Okay.
I think –
well, then let me
ask you what I'm saying?
Why would you – right, no, I 100% see. But let me ask you this. Why not – I mean, Paolo Banchero, 6'10", in the season. I mean, I think as a season went on, I think obviously, yeah, both, you know, Smith and – they all grew, I guess. But I think the way Banchero played, I mean, why not him over Jabari Smith to Orlando?
I think Jabari Smith does more better right now.
Okay.
I'm not
all right.
Fast-forwarding out. I think right now. The pick that's going to confuse me, and I really should have done what I did last year, and I wish I had the time today to do a whole hour-and-a-half breakdown. Jaden Ivey is projected to go fourth to Sacramento. I, for the life of me, still don't understand what the hell Sacramento does in their draft. They had the point guard of the future, and then they drafted a point guard. And then they traded that point guard to Indiana. And now, with the backcourt they have set, considering they drafted a guard from Baylor last year, they're going to go out and get yet another guard? Now, I've seen Sacramento play. You've seen Sacramento play. They are not good enough to duplicate that much talent at the same position. And I think that's why they constantly lose. So out of all the picks that are projected, that one confuses the hell out of me because Jaden Ivey is going to be a stud in this league.
Right. Well, what if you were them, like, as much, you know, as it might pay me, but even, you know, outwards, like, thinking ahead, what about if Sacramento took the kid down from Arizona, if they took Benedict Mathurin? Do you think he'd be a better fit than Ivey there?
You know what? I've seen him. I think that's more of a reach. And I'm not saying Mathurin can't play, but I think that's more of a reach. I think he's going to be a good player. I just think that's a little early to take him. And again, that's
right.
And I don't. When it comes to the draft, I can be petty when it comes to a lot of things. When it comes to the school in Tucson, but when it comes to the draft, I'm not. I would rather see them if they're going to reach and go up or do something of that nature. I would rather see them maybe reach for Jalen Duran, to go along with Sabonis and let him slide down to more of a natural position, or go with maybe a Tari Eason, someone like that. I think their pick should be a big, either a three and up, but they definitely don't need another guard.
Right. Well, I guess it's always that adage, the long adage of, you know, best need over best available. And to your point with Ivy, you're right. Like, you know, but it is a new regime. I mean, Mike Brown's coming in there, and obviously he's been, as we know, with the Warriors. And, I mean, yeah, he's had his head coaching experience, but, you know, he's had bumps, you know, ups and downs. But I think just, you know, the steadiness of being at Golden State the last few years, like you said, I'm with you, though. I'd be a little shocked if they did take Ivy, but that would just mean to me maybe somebody's going to be on the move if they did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, and that's the other part. Like you said, I mean, I know, obviously, you cover the Suns, and people that I've reached out to that cover different teams behind the scenes, you know, this any draft, it's always, you know, liar's poker, you know, because, oh, yeah, so-and-so's talking about this or that, or they're going to do this. It's like, okay, great. It's like you have to pay attention, but it's like, yeah, okay, you know, let me roll my eyes even more because why are you telling any of us the truth?
Exactly. Let me ask you this, and I'll tell you who mine is first. I think the steal of the draft, and it won't be this year. It'll maybe be a couple years down when we talk about development. I think Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky, the kid that didn't play,
I think he's
going to be really good. I think it's definitely not going to be this year because he didn't play last year.
Right.
And I don't care how good you are going from college to pro and not playing because you reclassified, you're not going to be good enough to just jump right in and play. But I think if he's drafted by the right team that can allow him to develop, Mike, I think that kid's going to be really good.
You know, and it's funny because, like you said, I've always liked to, you know, just listen to analysts and, you know, watch games. And, like, yeah, you're right, not getting to see him play this last year. We're watching, like, what he did in high school, and it's funny because as much as I like to, you know, pick on, like you said, people that are in the industry from that school down south, but even, you know, Richard Jefferson, but even Kendrick Perkins made a point, like, if this kid could ball a year ago, what makes you think he can't do it now? But reading between the lines, what he says, what you just said, it's not going to be this year, so who in the draft is going to sit there and take him and sit on it? And, you know, when somebody does, you know, will it be – I don't think it would be anybody in the top 10, but, you know, if somebody did, I'm not – like, I'm with you 100%. Like, just watching what this kid did, and they all – again, I mean, he's one and done, as you and I know. Like, they still need to grow out of the little kid body, and, you know, they're going to get beat down their first year. So, yeah, I mean, they'll have, you know, those nights where they score and stuff like that, and obviously they get going, but they're going to get shoved around down low. They're going to get, you know. So it's a growing – obviously it's a maturation growing process, as you and I know. But, yeah, man, I mean, if somebody in the top 10 took him, I would not be surprised. And I know the team that would probably get where are they? They're at a – oh, they're actually at 11, the Knicks. I mean, I think if the Knicks took somebody like him.
Don't do that
like,
to him. Don't do that to him. Don't do that to him. Because
come on.
Here's why. And this is why I say that. Who hates
you don't think
developing...
Tibbs is good at developing young players?
No. I think he was good at developing Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler had a defensive mindset first. And he learned how to play NBA offense. And all he did, Jimmy Butler's that dude that if your shift starts at 8, he starts at 5. If your shift ends at 5, he works till 8. And I'm not saying that this young kid doesn't have that work ethic, but you got to have that as a defensive mindset with Tibbs first. Tibbs does not play young guys. And so he reluctantly traded for Cam Reddish, and they refused to play him. So, no, I do not wish that upon.
I'm not saying I wish it. I'm just saying he would have a year to – Coach Derrick Rose.
Well, okay, again, but you're talking about the number one pick of the draft where Tibbs isn't going to have an option to play that was a special player at the time. But no, man, do not give me a project and Tibbs.
Okay. Fair enough.
Hell
fair
no.
Enough. Man.
Hell
tough
no.
Tough crowd. Oh, man.
Hey, Mike, give everybody your info because unfortunately we got a job.
Yeah, no, hit me up on Twitter at Diablos00. You can check me out. Well, check us out. I was saying Monday and Wednesday night, taking a little 2-week hiatus, obviously, after NBA Finals and stuff, and even though Stanley Cup Finals, which are phenomenal, are going on. But, yeah, on the Sports Arena, 10 Eastern on Mondays and Wednesdays on the Sideline Sports Network. You can check that out. And then, like I said, coming in September, like you said, a few more electric bills. And we'll be obviously pumping back up with the Believe in Pac-12 basketball. Obviously a lot going on in the transfer portal. You know, now the teams are starting, obviously, well, have started their summer workouts, what they're allowed to do, and players getting on campus in the coming year. So it'll be good. And then, we go into a talk about all the teams fairly in the and nicely. And Tommy Lloyd also, I'm sure you saw this too, Arizona re-extended him, which I'm sure is not a shock. Coach with the with what they did last year. And I mean, just a very good coach. I mean, you coach under, you know, Mark Few at Gonzaga for, you know, 20 years. You obviously, A, have a clue of the
game.
B, know how to recruit. Yeah. So it's not too bad. But yeah, and hopefully getting to hang out with my best friend more. I got to sit in with Ed Smith a few weeks ago. We were saying nice things about you. Except I did tell people how you love ASU, but you love to pick on ASU.
Come on now. Give everyone the info. And then, you know what? I got 30 seconds. Tell me if you can do it in 30 seconds. What's wrong with the Mercury? I'm going to ask for a shotgun answer. 30 seconds.
All right. You know what? I think that, again, with the new players they brought in, they were expecting to have, obviously, Brittany Griner, and they're not going to – and just listening to their press conferences, I mean, yeah, I think it's weighing on them. I think it's frustration. I just think it's getting used to a new coach, the way they do things, but I don't think a lot is wrong. I think it's early enough to where – just remember, the Chicago Sky were 500 last year. I'm not trying to say that to, like, grasp the things, but they were 500 before the season started – or before the playoffs started, and they won, obviously, the title over the Mercury. So, again, I think they're getting into it. Skylar Diggins Smith has improved, so we'll see what happens.
All right, buddy. Give me your Twitter one more time just so I can send you out on that.
Just like the Devils, baby, because Mr. Paul and I love him. @Diablo00. Feel free to hit me up. And thanks for having me on, buddy. You're the best.
All right, bro. I appreciate it, man. Talk to you in a little bit.
See ya.
That's the one only Mike Garrison. You know, my guy, 100%. Last segment brought to you by Scout and Seller Wine Consultant Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. Tired of wine done the wrong way, and I mean a bunch of sugars, additives, and all that crap that you don't want in your wine. It makes you feel, you know, after you drink it. Give her a call. She'll set up a wine tasting for you. None of the preservatives, none of the sugars, none of the additives. It's all natural. It's Tina Calhoun, Scout and Seller Wine Consultant, 602-410-4821. Quick news and notes before we pop out of here. So everyone likes to clean stuff up. You say stuff, and then you come back, clean it up. Say stuff, come back, clean it up. Now it's Tyreek Hill, who basically said, you can summarize what you want. It would be easier playing for Tua than Mahomes. Now he's kind of cleaning it up. I think it's funny. Look, let me say this very easily. You don't have to pull one thing down or one person down to pump another one up. And for whatever reason in life, we still haven't learned that. In life, be a person that when people see you coming, your energy is good. No one in this day and age wants to be around energy takers. And in life, you're either one of two things. You either take energy or you give energy. And I think guys are starting to get that. I know we didn't talk at all about Cleveland, the Browns. We will get into that. We will get into Deshaun Watson and the week coming up. I have some real thoughts about that that I will definitely share with you. Thank you, Maduro's Five-Star Tobacco, for hosting us like you do on Thursdays. Next week, huge announcement. It's called a tease. Huge announcement about the show and times and all that. But we're going to save it for next week. Until next time, this is Vindication with PLR. Make sure you follow us on the social media, at the Instagram, Facebook, and the Twitter, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. You get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Again, remember, we are on iHeart, KSRN, and Spotify. So definitely make sure you're checking us out. Until the next time, this has been PLR, the game show of PLR. This is PLR. Tips, bring us home.